What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you make. And you can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard. Coming up in just a few minutes, AT&T has pushed through its merger with Time Warner, all the Time Warner channels. And although they promised the court that it would lead to lower prices for consumers, we immediately got gifts from them, if you do business with AT&T, of higher rates. I'm going to tell you about that in today's Clark Rage. And later, there's new news about how comfortable or uncomfortable you're going to be when you fly. And I'm going to fill you in on what's going on with you getting to know people in a lot more closer quarters than you might like when you take to the air. I want to talk right now about something I mentioned last month, and I've been testing it since last month, and it is an ultra-cheap cell phone that works on all the cell phone carriers in the United States. It's one you can buy unlocked from Best Buy or Amazon or B&H Photo, among other retailers, and the phone is a fantastic bargain. It's called the Moto G6, and it retails at $249, although street price for it tends to be between $220 and $230, depending on the day you look. And the phone is extraordinary. At that price, you get a phone with a 5.7-inch screen, which is bigger than, like, let's say an iPhone 8 Plus, which is 5.5-inch. This is 5.7, and it has great battery life. It's very easy to use. Android, so if you're an iPhone person, you're not going to like this probably, but it is a true deal in the marketplace. And usually when you look at a cheaper phone, there are going to be all kinds of compromises. And if I would think of anything on this phone that I'm not thrilled with, it is some of the interior shots I take. That if there's decent lighting inside, the phone does fine. But if it's not decent lighting inside, that's a disappointment. Other than that, everything about this Motorola phone is extraordinary. And what's exceptional is in the United States, different from everywhere else in the world, normally you can buy any phone you want. You don't normally buy them in other countries from a cell phone carrier. You just buy a phone and you put a card in it, SIM card, and it works on any network. That is something that is very rare in the United States, except for the Motorola line of phones, most of which will do that. And this, the Moto G6, a fantastic opportunity for you to save money. It is confusing, though, when you go to shop for the Moto G line, because there's also the G6 Play. The G6 Play is cheaper, $50 cheaper than the G6. Some of the features are not as good on it, but it has more battery life, typically getting you through 2 days of moderate use without needing a charge, which is fantastic for a cell phone. Again, this is the Moto G6, and nobody gives me anything. I buy whatever I test, because the whole thing about what I'm about, unbought and unbossed. So anything you ever hear me talk about, good or bad, I paid for it, as I did with this phone. And we're going to speak now with Jared. Jared, welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sure, Jared. How can I be of service to you?
You know, I've recently I've been listening to you for quite a while, and I've recently been putting a lot of things into play. So one of those things is I really searched for a job that could offer me some really, really great retirement opportunities, and I've secured that. I'm 41. I have no debt. I travel internationally for you know, just recreation pretty often, but I really want to know, I've got an IRA, I've got some basic investments going, but I want to know the smartest way to leverage my money moving forward, because I haven't done a good job in the past 20 years or so of setting myself up for success.
All right. Well, by the way, you said something significant. You said you're 41, right?
I am.
Most people don't really think about saving for retirement till they have their 40th birthday. So don't feel like you're out of line or out of the normal range, because in people's 20s and 30s, the idea of retiring for most people is so far off in the distance, they don't really think about it. But the advantage that the individuals have who do start saving in their 20s, as an example, is they need to put aside a lot less money than you'll need to in order to have a comfortable retirement starting at 41 versus somebody who starts at 20-something. So you need to think through first, when would you like to bag work? What age would you like to be?
You know, I won't. I'll probably retire from my chosen career, but I'll never really stop working. It's not really, I don't see that as a healthy choice for me. I like to be moving and thinking and interacting.
So for you, saving specifically with a retirement date or time in mind is not as important as is just creating the overall picture of more financial security.
That's right. As I age, you know, by the time I'm 60, I really want to, I'm in the health industry, so I'm pretty aware of, you know, my timelines. And by the time I'm 60, I want money to be pretty much a non-issue for me, if at all possible.
All right. So if you want it to be a non-issue, are you sitting or standing right now?
Standing.
All right. So brace yourself against something, because if you want to, in 19 years, to be in a position that you are not going to have anxiety about where the next paycheck's coming from, you're going to need to save a shocking amount of your pay, somewhere 20 to 25% of your pay.
Yeah, I'm in the position right now. Tell me how this plays out for you. I could conservatively save about $30,000 a year,
and what percent of your pay is that? As much as
40. That's probably about 30% of my pay.
Fantastic.
I could save more if I wanted to, because I have no debt.
All right. So see, I was all prepared for you to pass out, hit your head, and then your survivors to be suing me and all that. So I don't have to worry about any of that. You're cool with this. All right. So,
yeah, I appreciate it.
So save the maximum that this employer allows you to do in your retirement plan. Are you offered both a Roth 401k and a traditional, or only a traditional?
You know, only a traditional. I do have a Roth IRA, and I have a pension with a full match from my company. So my savings would be in addition to that.
Great. All right. So put in the 401k up to the max you're allowed to.
Yeah.
And do the Roth IRA up to $5,500 in a year. You've got the pension as well. You do that stuff consistently over your 40s and 50s. You'll be fine by age 60.
Are there any general, I know you got to go and time short, are there any general investment thoughts you have on that scenario playing out well for me? Just places
where
to
do
put
you
my
put
money,
the money?
Smart places.
So I'm a big believer, for most people, unless you're really going to dig in and build a portfolio, that you just go with the target retirement fund choice.
Okay.
So
and that's through that. I've seen a number of those. I've got one saved in my documents from Vanguard. Is that where you would go?
Yeah, the Vanguard Target Retirement Fund choice is great. And in your case, at your age, normally you would be looking at like the 2040 fund.
Okay.
Target 2040, and just going all in on that, where they handle the diversification and they handle the ups and downs of the market. I just saw an academic study that people who do through a retirement plan at work, do the target retirement fund, are more likely to stay in and chill through down markets than people that are picking and choosing individual funds.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I've been picking and choosing a few, and you know, you kind of start looking at it and overreacting, I think. I haven't done anything yet, but this is perfect advice. I appreciate it.
Well, best to you, and I hope that this new career choice is great for you. And Dan is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Clark. Long time, second time. How are you today?
Well, great to have you here. I'm doing very well. Thank you, Dan.
Hey, let me just jump right into it. I went to buy a new car, and of course, I, after your advice, I had my own financing, that is, that I was just going to pay cash for the car. And I went in, and things didn't go as planned. They actually offered me a better deal on my trade-in if I came in a day early, so I did. Got everything done, but I didn't bring a check with me for to pay off the car. So they had an introductory rate, or they had a three-year rate of 0.9%. So I said, just go ahead and give me that rate. I have the credit. And they said that they could, there was no penalty if I paid it off early. So I have, I did finance the car at 36 months at the 0.9% interest, and I can pay it off if I wanted to in one lump sum. My question to you, though, is does that hurt my credit in any way if I were to pay that loan off immediately?
Tell me what other forms of credit you have in your life.
Just my mortgage. I have a couple of credit cards, but none have any balance.
All right, so you're fine. If you want to blow through that 0.9, go right ahead. But I want to ask you, what are you doing? Like, prior I was just talking about Roth IRAs. Are you doing a Roth, and are you maxing that out?
Yeah, I make too much money for a Roth, but I do have IRAs and my 401ks and all that stuff. So yes, okay. Yes, I am, as per your advice.
All right. Well, if you have nothing else that you need to do with the money, you could, I could really get exotic here and say, well, you know, you could put the money in an online savings account and earn like 2.1%, and you'd be making 1% on your money. It's not enough to fool with. If you are paying on a loan, even at slightly under 1%, that has no real reason to exist in your life, just pay it off if you're cash rich.
That makes sense. And I understand what you're saying about the value of money with the interest bearing against me paying off that loan. So it's something to think about, but your advice really helps me. Thank you.
Well, thanks. And congratulations to you that you live your life in such a way that you handle it so well and are in a position to pay cash for a car. With that being the case, I want to mention one thing for you to look at that is going to be kind of weird. But there's a way, even though you make too much money, that you can do a Roth IRA, often referred to as the backdoor Roth. And I'd like you to go read about that and see if that's another piece of how you want to handle money in your life. Because even though you make too much money, there's this goofy way where you can open an obscure account known as a non-deductible IRA, and then move the money into a Roth, and be able, even though you don't normally income qualify, to have a Roth IRA.
Excellent. I will do that.
And one catch with that I must always remember to mention is if you have money in traditional IRAs, it messes up you doing the backdoor Roth. So if you do have money in traditional IRAs, there's more work you'd have to do in order to be able to stash cash and the tax-free growth and tax-free spending of a Roth IRA.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
When AT&T convince the court that it should be able to acquire Time Warner. One of the things they promised for the last couple of years is it would mean lower costs to consumers. But actually, that turned out to be a big fat lie, and it's today's Clarkrageous moment.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clarkrageous moment.
So AT&T has pushed through an increase on all AT&T cellular customers that is a junk fee for administrative charges, which is going to make AT&T an extra $1 billion and cost you more money. And the DirecTV Now streaming service, those prices went up immediately after the merger. So this is a signal to you, if you are a customer of AT&T or DirecTV Now, to go shop your plan. Because they said one thing to get merger approval and then immediately did something else, picked your pocket. And by the way, what is an administrative charge anyway? It's just a made-up junk fee. AT&T is not alone in doing that. In fact, if cell phone carriers, only T-Mobile doesn't charge made-up fees as part of your bill. In addition, prepaid carriers don't charge junk fees. Ironically enough, if you really like AT&T Wireless and you don't want to leave them even if they're picking your pocket, go to their own discount brand, Cricket, and get your service from Cricket. Cricket is owned by AT&T. It is AT&T. Everything about it is the same, other than the rates are usually about 40% cheaper for the same service. So it's your choice. At Clark.com, we have two guides for you about making choices with cell phone plans. And there's a lot of newer, cheaper plans that you're going to see throughout the rest of 2018. And then for the streaming services that have proliferated so much, it can be so confusing who you should be with and who's got the channel lineups you're looking for, the services you're looking for. I have a guide for you at Clark.com on how to pick a streaming service. The most important thing for you to know is don't let one of these companies take advantage of you because you are a creature of habit. Being a creature of habit, particularly with technology services, internet for your home, television, cell phones, any kind of technology that involves a monthly subscription or monthly fee, if you have not shopped any of those things and you can't remember when, go do it. Your wallet will thank you. Glad you're here with us on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can keep more of what you make. And you can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard. So an airline in Europe called Ryanair, which is one of the world's most profitable airlines, is an ultra deep discounter. They're really the inspiration for what we have in America with the airlines people love to hate, like Spirit, Frontier, and Allegiant. And Ryanair wants to start selling an even cheaper standing seat that you kind of lean against this fabric post, and that in return for that, you would get a much cheaper fare than somebody who gets a seat on the plane. This is not a spoof or a joke. They want to do it. And the funny thing is, I love to stand for flights of up to a couple hours. I'd be all about that, and I'd be happy to be in these standing things that are designed in a way that you wear a harness rather than a traditional seatbelt. And why not? But most people would think I'm loco, right? And airlines are in a real focus in the United States for how they're shrinking the size of the seat and the room between rows. The FAA just decided they weren't going to take any action on what's known as aircraft densification. That's where more and more people are crammed into the same space, with the worry being that in an emergency, that people could not make it out of a plane in the safety mandated 90 seconds with people being all crammed in. So I'm not qualified to speak on the safety issue, but I am on the comfort side because I fly virtually every week of my life. And I've watched with amusement as two of the nation's three full-fare airlines, United and American, have engaged in something that the industry calls cabin densification. And what that means is that they make the seat even narrower than it was before and take legroom away. American and United, on a lot of their jumbos, are adding an additional seat per row. In addition to narrowing the legroom you have in those rows, so the seats on a long-haul international flight are 17 inches wide. Now, bulletin, we as Americans have gotten bigger over time, not smaller. And truthfully, a huge number of American adults don't fit left to right in a 17-inch seat. Well, so American and United have gotten a lot of bad publicity about going to the cabin densification. And the irony of it is in Consumer Reports just released data that will be in the August issue of Consumer Reports. American and United got failing grades on an overall customer satisfaction. And they were down in the very sub-basement territory, right there with Frontier and Spirit, the two ultra-hard discounters. Allegiant actually outranked American and United. Of the full-fare airlines, the only one that got a passing grade was Delta, which got a mid-level C, a 75. And Delta, very quietly, didn't make any fuss about it, has decided they're doing the opposite of what American and United are doing. And Delta, the world's most profitable airline, has decided that they are actually going to increase the width of seats on a lot of their international flights. And they're going to have more room for passengers flying long hauls than exists right now as they redo the cabins in coach. And so that is a complete opposite move. And by the way, Southwest, in its newest planes, is putting in seats that are wider, where you get one additional inch of width to the seat. And think about it. We're talking about a difference really between 17, 18, 19, 20 inches in width of a seat. Let me tell you, as somebody who flies every week, it makes a difference. And then the legroom you have in front of you, on that score, JetBlue gives more legroom than anybody else and has the widest seats in coach of anybody. But in the Consumer Reports survey, the three mid-price airlines had the highest customer satisfaction scores. Southwest highest, followed closely by Alaska, followed closely by JetBlue. So the deep discounters, people generally despise. American and United, people generally despise. But the three mid-price, people give really good scores to. And one of the things they do differently, in addition to potentially employee attitude, is they give you more room in the aircraft. And I think that does make a difference. Question, is there a role? If somebody was able to find that it actually was a life and death issue, what American and United are doing, then obviously there would be a role for the government to play from the safety side and making them put in fewer seats or giving more legroom. But the ultimate place, if there's not a safety issue, I think the right place to solve this is in the marketplace. And you decide with your dollars where you decide to fly and who you decide to fly with. Delta is clearly trying to create a differentiation with it versus its two full fare competitors, American and United. But the overall trend is towards giving you less space And good for JetBlue, Delta, and Southwest giving you more of both. Mary is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing good.
Mary, you want to go to the Irish Isle?
Yep.
All right. Where in Ireland are you headed?
We're heading to Dublin when we fly in.
Okay, and then what are you going to do once you get to Dublin?
We had a travel agency who set up a very loose itinerary where we get to go anywhere. We have a car, and we get to go about anywhere we want around Ireland for a week.
All right, you're going to find that I have a real bias that most people share, which mm-hmm. is you're going to want to spend most of your time in Western Ireland. The western part of Ireland, not the eastern, northeastern part where Dublin is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've just gotten kind of a sketch of how to do your trip, but you haven't bought it or picked specific dates yet. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So I want to encourage you to expand your search for deals to both Shannon and Cork. Cork is in the southwest of Ireland, mm-hmm. and Shannon is to the west. And often you'll find better deals to both of those, and they put you much more in proximity where most of what you're going to want to see in Ireland is going to be.
Okay.
But in addition, there is a lot of air service into Dublin. There's more air service into Dublin than the other two. What time of year are you thinking of? Or are you looking for guidance from me on time of year?
Well, I was kind of looking for guidance from you, but at the moment we were thinking end of September, early August.
Early October.
September, early October, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a great time to go to Ireland because the big summertime tourist crowds are gone and you have less daylight, but still enough. And you'll find that fares are going to be very, very good for you going to Ireland, especially if you will expand your search away from just your home departure airport.
Okay.
There have been a lot of fares to Ireland of late that have been in the range of 200 to 300 round trip for late summer, early fall.
Okay.
And what I would suggest you do when you're looking for fares, go to google.com/flights. And have you ever been to that website?
Yes.
And search fares specifically from Boston and New York to Ireland.
Okay.
From most of the United States now, because there's a big market share war going on to Boston from all around the United States, a lot of times it can really work out to buy a ticket to Boston first from wherever in the country you live, and then you take a cheap flight from Boston to Europe.
Okay.
And it means you have a little inconvenience. You got one stop and potentially two airlines. But a lot of times you can do both flights on the same airline. You're just buying two fares, one to get to Boston and then one from Boston to Europe.
Okay.
Yeah. What kind of prices are you seeing right now to fly to Ireland?
I found a straight, no stops for $6.58
for late September, early October. In prior mm-hmm. years, I would have said, hey, that's a great deal. Just buy it. But with the heightened competition right now, I would say not to jump on that unless the whole idea of changing planes and potentially having to change airlines is more than you want to deal with, then I would say $6.50 is a good fare for September. And any year in the last five or six, I would have said, yeah, grab that, but not with fares as low as $200 right now, heading over to Ireland and other spots in Europe. Adam is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Adam. How you doing?
Good, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Adam. So you got a question for me about college.
Yeah. Yes, I do. So my daughter has got 2 more years to finish up to get her undergraduate degree, and she needs money to help her do this. So we're researching loans, and I know I'm not supposed to co-sign for her as a, you know, suggestion, but all these loan companies want me to co-sign her loan.
Exactly.
And I'm nervous about that.
Right, as you should be. So if she's beyond her ability to borrow under the federal student loan program?
Yeah, she is.
Any loan you do is either going to be a parent plus loan, or it's going to be, and they call it something slightly different than that now, but anyway, the parent loan, or it's going to be going to a private lender to borrow. And in either case, you're on the hook because your daughter, being a student, doesn't have the ability to qualify for that borrowing on her own, and they're going to make you sign on the line either way, whether you do a loan that you are solely responsible for or a loan that you share responsibility for with her.
Okay.
So,
well, how do all these kids get all this money nowadays? Are their parents signing for them?
For graduate school, there's an unlimited amount of money, and I find that most of the callers I hear from that have massive amounts of student loan debt are people who acquired that debt in graduate school or professional school, where under the federal program you have basically unlimited borrowing.
Well, I guess by today's standards, she won't be, you know, she'll be in debt when she graduates, $30,000, $40,000, more than I like, but
that's not a tragedy. You know, the way I look at it, and my formula over the years has been the tripwire, is you never want to borrow more for a degree than what you're going to earn the first year in your job with that degree.
Okay.
And so at 30, odds are she's going to be fine. At 40, you start getting into territory where it could outrun what she might earn her first year or so out of school.
Yeah, well, hopefully that's not the case.
All right. Now, if you do a loan where it's her loan, but you co-sign,
yes,
you need to stay on that like a hawk when she finishes, because if she gets flaky or forgets to make a payment or whatever, not just her credit gets ruined, yours gets ruined too.
Right.
So you want to have online access to the loan and make sure that it's getting paid every month, just like any other bill, whether you're going to choose to pay it or expect her to pay it.
Yeah.
What kind of difference is there in the interest rate on the federal parent loan versus what you found fixed rate from private lenders?
I think it was the difference between like 3.5% to 6%.
So you can get, really, you think you can get a fixed 3.5%?
That's the what do they call it, when you get it from the government.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you, whatever money you can borrow at 3.5, you want to do that first, as long as it's a fixed rate. And then after that, there's going to be a lot of offers for various variable rate loan programs that'll have what look like low rates. Don't take any of those. Only take fixed rate loans and compare the terms of each of those. And with private lenders, there are less rights you have available to you later on than you do with federal. So a private loan needs to be a good point lower in interest rate before it's worth doing versus doing any kind of federal borrowing. Mike is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Clark. It's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you, Mike. And I am so glad you're here, because you are going to give a firsthand experience on an eBay scam that is a growing hassle for eBay sellers. Hit us with how it works in the shortest form you can.
Sure. I recently sold an item on eBay and received the payment like normal. And then within 10 minutes, I received an email from the supposed buyer saying, I just bought this item from you. Sorry to trouble you, but I actually... I'm in a different location now. I'm taking care of my brother who's sick. If you could, please send it to this address instead. And at first I didn't, you know, I thought it looked legit. And then I noticed that the username that the message was coming from was different than the buyer the buyer's username, and the message that I received, the username had zero feedback. So, things looked a little bit fishy. And and then I noticed that that username had just signed up for eBay just recently. So it looks like that there's people out there that are looking for, finished auctions and contacting the people looking to have them ship the item to them.
Divert the item to the crook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what happens in that case, you would have lost twice. You would have lost your merchandise, and you would have lost the money. It would have just been as bad as it could be. And this is an important warning for any eBay seller. And Mike, I appreciate it. Be very wary of people that troll sold items and try to get the shipping diverted, pretending that they are the winning buyer. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast of our show, I'd love it if you'd subscribe. Whatever your favorite podcast app is, we're pretty much there. And whether you love what you hear from me or hate it, take time to write a review. It's how we all learn from each other, is from those reviews.